Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
We must put our minds on the altar of God. Too many of us are in control of our minds. If you are in control of your mind, then the Holy Spirit is not in control. He's not going to force you. Let Him be in control.
In this week's message, Pastor Neil highlights a vital principle for spiritual growth: intentionally laying our minds on the altar of God. Drawing from Romans 8:5, he teaches that when we follow the Holy Spirit, our thoughts align with His will rather than our own desires. He highlights four essential practices that shape this transformation. Recognizing that your life is not your own, it belongs to God. Pray to die to selfish thoughts and motivations. Be willing to let God interrupt your routine. And respond quickly to conviction. Repent to what God reveals as sin. Pastor Neil draws a powerful contrast between living by information and living by transformation. While information from God's Word is vital, it becomes transformational only when we allow the Holy Spirit to apply it deeply and reshape our hearts and minds. Transformation begins in the mind and continues as we daily surrender it to God's refining work. Let's listen to Pastor Neil in this week's lesson, Our Divine Next, Part 8.
In our last lesson, we looked at some principles of growth, some principles or laws of growth. The first principle we talked about is that if we will grow, we need to make a commitment to grow. You remember that? We need to do what? You don't grow by osmosis. You don't keep sleeping and waking up and then you grow. You have to make a decision on purpose to grow. That is the only way you'll grow. Amen. So that was for last week. Today, I want to go a step further, still talking about some principles of growth. And I'll talk about only one of them, because this is so important, I don't want to rush it. So principle number four, that the second habit, the first habit is to feed. The second habit is to exercise. That's the natural way. But we exercise as Christians by praying. And this is not the prayer of asking for stuff. This is what I call the highest mandate of prayer. The highest mandate of prayer is transformation. If you pray a lot and your language is filthy, the prayer you are praying is nonsense. Because in the presence of God, you need to start being what? Transformed. The book of Mark chapter 9, 39, Jesus, the scripture says, he spent all night praying. And when he came, he began to glow. Because the place of prayer is supposed to cause what? Transformation. Are you with me? So let's state it maybe in a simple term, that the second spiritual habit to cultivate is to intentionally lay, if I want to sound religious, I'll say lay your heart on the altar. I want to bring it to modern terms. Lay your mind, because your heart is your subconscious mind. The things you think through, you hold on to, it sinks and it forms your heart and it controls your behavior. All right? So leave all of that. Let's deal with the one that you can point to. It is time to lay your mind on the altar of God daily. It must be laid there how many times? It must be laid there how many times? All right, now let's begin. An altar has two significance. Number one, it is a place of killing. And number two, it is a place of sacrifice. Whenever there is an altar, you will realize that animals are killed there. So it is a place of what? And then it is, whatever is killed, it is what? Sacrifice. So it is a place of. So when we lay our minds on the altar of God, it has to go through a process of killing. And it must be sacrificed for God. It may sound too big. I'll bring it down for you. I said I will do what? Turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 12. Are you in Romans chapter 12? Romans chapter 12. Let's look at two verses, verse 1 and verse 2. You got it? I'll read it from the New Century Version. It says, "So brothers and sisters, since God has shown us great mercy, I beg you to offer your lives." The traditional verses say, "I beg you to offer your what? Bodies. As a living what?" So that means it has been laid on an altar. Okay? Now, whenever we talk about our bodies, what is really you? Anybody to tell me? Your means of communicating and dealing with the rest of the world. So what is it? Mm-hmm. So this is what God wants you to lay on the altar. That needs to be on the altar. Your mind is made up of your will, your emotions, your intellect, your thoughts, all the crazy things. Come, you have it. Did you get it? God wants you to lay what on the altar? So look at verse 2. It says, "Do not be shaped by this world. Instead, be changed." How? "By a new way of thinking." So he's dealing with your mind here. So he says, I want you to sacrifice. What I want you to sacrifice, the object of the sacrifice is your mind. God wants it. People will tell you your mind is not necessary in your Christian walk. It's a lie. Read Romans 7:25 in the King James, and it says that, "For it is with the mind we serve the Lord." You cannot serve him. How are you going to relate to God? Because you are not a spirit being. We have a spirit, but all we do naturally. You do everything through the mind. So you must learn to put this head on the altar. This lesson I'm about to teach today is going to be very difficult. But I want you to pay attention and listen. Because all of the Christian walk you are doing, this is what you're doing. Because if your mind is not sacrificed, you are wasting your time. Your mind must be what? Sacrificed. It must be on the altar of God. Please notice, I didn't say it must be just on an altar. It is the altar of God. He is the one who is going to cause the transformation to take place. Are you with me? Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Matthew 16, 24. You got it? He said, "Then Jesus said to his followers, 'If people want to follow me, they must give up the things they want. They must be willing even to give up their lives to follow me.'" Did you read that? Can we read, everybody? Go. "Then Jesus said to his followers, 'If people want to follow me, they must give up the things they want. They must be willing to give up their lives to follow me.'" Does it make sense? Everything you want, Jesus wants it. The more you give him control, the more transformation takes place. The less you are in control, the more the Holy Spirit is in control. The more control you have. And this one, there's no science. Somebody speaks to you and your ego is hurt, and it takes you 4 or 5 days before you get over it. You are not growing. You are human. You must get hurt. But it needs to go by 24 hours. The older you get, the quicker it becomes. Are you with me? 2 years, 10 years, harboring the same thing in your heart and calling yourself a Christian. Today, I came here to tell you, can you grow up? Galatians chapter 2. I'm trying to establish the fact that if we will serve the Lord, God is interested in our will. He's interested in your emotions. He's interested in everything. Amen? Are you in Galatians 2:20? Here, Paul the Apostle is speaking, and he's talking to the church in Galatia, and he's telling them about the fact that there's a need for them to walk with God. And this is how he puts it. Ready? Everybody, read with me. Go. "I was put to death on the cross with Christ, and I do not live anymore. It is Christ who lives in me. And I still live in my body, but I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Does that explain the process? You still live in this body, but he says that it is not your mind that is going to control you. Next verse, go with me to the book of Romans chapter 5 and look at verse 8. So it is important that as a child of God, you must subject your mind daily, momentarily. When you see that Satan is taking over your mind, please do not allow him. Are you here with me? Are you here with me? Where does wars start from? All the wars in the world, where does it start from? It starts from somebody's mind. So this mind is powerful. It's not something you need to mess around with. You must give it over to the Lord who gave it to you. Are you in Romans chapter 8? Look at verse 5. Read with me, shall we? Those who live following their sinful self think only about things that their sinful selves want. Pause. Those who live following their selves, their sinful self. All of us have sinful self. As long as you allow your mind to be in control, you will walk in sin. There is no two ways about it. You can't be smarter than God. But if you're going to allow your mind to be taken over by Him, and it is not going to be automatic, that is why the Bible calls it a living sacrifice. Because most sacrifices are dead. You lay them down, you can light fire, and they stay. The living sacrifices can get up and leave. So it is intentional. It's a choice you make day by day to lay your mind down on the altar of God and says, I have given it to you. Second part, let's read. Those who live following their sinful selves think only about things that their sinful self want. But those who live following the Spirit, please notice the Spirit is capital S. So talking about the Holy Spirit, not your human spirit. Those who live following the Holy Spirit are thinking about the things that the Holy Spirit wants them to do. Did you follow that? So as long as your mind is thinking your own thoughts, you are not led by the Spirit. Period. Did you get that? Now, Pastor, yeah, we understand the theory. Can you bring it down? I'll bring it down for you. Don't worry, we'll get there. Just slow down. I heard you. One last scripture, and then we'll try and make sense of what we're reading. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We'll read two verses. And I really want you to pay attention to verse 2. Since you were raised from the dead with Christ, in other words, since you have been crucified, since you have been laid on the altar of God, aim at what is in heaven, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Verse 2, all of us, read with me. Think only about the things in heaven. Pause. What are the things you have to think about? Huh? So cars are in heaven. So he says, your thinking should not be wasted on that. I wanted to bring the scripture down. Fighting the next person, is that in heaven? So don't think about that. Gossiping about the next person, is that in heaven? It's plain and simple, correct? He says, think only about the things in heaven, not the things on earth. So are you saying, Pastor, that I shouldn't even think about dressing up? Because in heaven, people don't dress up. What I am saying is that your thoughts must only be given by the Holy Spirit so that the ones you think on earth will always be given by Him. Are you with me? Okay, now. I know by now some of you are saying it's too theoretical, so let's bring it down. So suppose I had a fight with my wife, and I know I am right. Are you guys following me? Yes, sir. I know I am 100% I'm right. In fact, 200% I am right. But as soon as I turn around, I hear a voice telling me, turn around and go back and apologize. Satan will never tell you to apologize when he knows that you are right. It is only the Holy Spirit who will do so. Why? Because it is not so much about you, but it is about what he wants to do with the other person. So when you hear, you have to think about things in heaven, that in heaven there is forgiveness. And say, yeah, I'm right. 200%. Actually, 500%. But I sense a nudge to go back and say, I am sorry, my love. What do you think happens when I walk away from her? She's going to be convicted. But he was right, though. And then he came to say, I am sorry. Because God is interested in not just saving you, but he's also interested in saving what? The other person. So we are praying for people to be saved, but we are acting opposite. When the Holy Spirit wants to use you, you say, you can't do that. Can't do that. Because everything is still about you. When your Christian life is always about you and your ego and how you feel, please forgive me. Please forgive me. You are not growing now. Self must be crucified. You must reach that place where self is not. How in the world I show up and they didn't give me the seat? What kind of seat? When we were growing up, there was a guy, all his tongues were stelaba. Stelaba. One day, I asked him, for 10 years, all you speak is stelaba. What is the meaning of stelaba? He said, stay humble. I said, ha. Good. I'm glad you are laughing because I realize the place is getting kind of tense. So I want to just open up the atmosphere here. You must allow that to happen. You go to work, you are not late. You do all the work you have to do. Everything is done right. And then there's this supervisor who for some reason always wants to sit on your case. And they're trying to push your buttons. So you go for an all-night prayer meeting. And you go to the leader. I said, today, we have to bind all. We have to loose and bind. As soon as you start the prayer, you sense in. Where do you are you going to sense it? It starts from here. You would hear something telling you, that's not a prayer to pray. Do you actually stop the prayer or you keep at it? You have to stay lover. You stop that moment. You've seen me. Some Sundays I come here, I've prepared fully. But if I sense this is how God wants to go, I have to put it down. It doesn't mean I don't know order. I do. It doesn't mean I have not planned. I have planned. Because you must learn to subject your mind. It must be placed on the altar of God. So God must do something with it. Okay, now, let me take you through a few things. Write it down. How does this thing look day by day? Right? How does this play out in everyday life? Number one, understand that you don't own your life. Understand that. Because most of us, because we think we own ourselves, that's where we want to be in control. Understand that I am not in control of my... You don't own your life. How many of you actually own your life? I remember how empty this place was when COVID came. Little virus we couldn't even see with our eyes. Controlled all of us and we were hiding in our caves, in our houses. Understand that you are not what? Turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, because sometimes when Christians walk around forgetting that they belong to Christ, they do things that suits them. If you belong to Christ, if you are his, what does 2 Corinthians 5:17 say? If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. If any man is in, if you are in him, you are for him. You are not for yourself. You belong to him. Read with me 1 Corinthians 6. Look at verse 19. Please, everybody, shall we read? Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Who is in you? Whom you have received from God? You are not your own. I need you to say that thing until it sinks in your knower. You are not your own. Please don't use the word you. Make it personal. Say, I am not my own. Say that with me.
I am not my own.
Say that again. I am not my own. We are going. I am not my own. Neil, you are not your own. When self starts coming up, you tell yourself, I am not my own. I belong to another. He's called Christ. This morning, I decided to take a walk. Normally, I don't walk on Sundays. But I took a walk, and on my way, I got a phone call from a brother. And he's a pastor, and he shared a few things. And after he was done, I said to him, bro, the things you've asked me, if we use modern trends, you are right. But you are not your own. And based on the fact that you and I don't belong to ourselves, but we belong to Christ, it is wrong. That is the biggest problem with many Christians. We think we are wrong. But it's me. I wear my shirt. Parents, come along with me. You bought a car or something for your child, and your child is claiming the thing. What normally crosses your mind? Really? Wait till you start paying the bill for the thing. Because you know that in principle, their name was put on the car and they are driving. It doesn't belong to them. You are not your own. Turn to the person sitting next to you. Please forgive them. Point your finger at them and say, you are not your own. 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 You belong to another. He is called Jesus Christ. You are not your own. So when you start getting angry, you must go and ask the one who owns you, is it okay to do this? And I believe that you don't even need to ask him. You will hear his voice already telling you that's not the route to go. The only problem is that we become so full of ourselves. It is me, myself, and I. You are not your own. Second principle, if I want to lay my head on the altar, how this plays out daily is pray and ask God to help you to die to self daily. Ask him. So-and-so said this about me. I need to go defend it. What for? Turn to the person who owns you and say, Lord, you have seen it. I leave it into your hands. And I bet you have seen God when he fights, man. Didn't the Bible say it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God? So I prefer to leave people into the hands of the living God, because they will come to that place. They will, hey, wrong place. Pray and ask God to help you to die. The next point, whenever you ask God that you want to die to self, pay attention to what he's going to do. The next one is that God is going to create all kinds of circumstances to help you die. Did you hear that? I must be willing to allow God to disturb my routines. I will put it that way. You can put it another way. Expect God to create circumstances, situations, things. How do you pray that God make me a patient person when you have actually not encountered a difficult person? You know, some people are what I call EGR, extra grace required. They will push every button you have. Your ability to be patient, but you can do it on your own. So that's where you lay your mind at the altar of God. And he says, ignore. I was speaking to one of the young people, and he was sharing with me something that was happening. And I listened, and I said, don't respond to that, because you're just wasting your time. Why? So my voice is like the voice of the Holy Spirit in the ears of this young person. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You must be willing to allow God to disturb your... So you have planned, you want a vacation. Well-deserved vacation. And one morning you wake up and you realize that everything coming across to you is like, don't go on vacation. How many of you will be bold enough to cancel the vacation, even though you lose money? You wait till you're on a bridge and something breaks and say, that is why. No, learn to listen before the bridge breaks. Lay your mind where? On the altar of God. So when he speaks, you listen. You listen. And I think it's been modeled. You've watched me many times come here, spent 2 months studying to preach one thing, only to show up here and I sense in the atmosphere, that's not what God wants for the day. So put it on the shelf. I have to put it on the shelf. If I claim, my mind is on the altar. Let's say the men are meeting today, okay? And then you have planned a special program. And then there is an invited guest. Would the invited guest be sensitive enough to understand that the way the atmosphere is going, he's not supposed to say a word? You will find a way to still push him in. I have been invited to places where during the time of worship, I sense in my spirit I'm not supposed to preach. So I got close to the pastor and said, allow that worship to go. Don't worry about me. And when the finished, I said, don't push me in. God has touched people. They don't need me. We must put our minds on the altar of God. Too many of us are in control of our minds. If you are in control of your mind, then the Holy Spirit is not in control. He's not going to force you. Let him be in control. Let him be what? In control. So I must be willing to allow God to disturb my routine. Disturb my routine. Disturb my routine. Finally, when God reveals to you your sin, ask for forgiveness immediately. Don't go trying to, I want to see, I have to make sense of this. The last time I checked, you are not that smart as me. Am I right? Okay, maybe you are smarter than me. Didn't the Bible say that Solomon is the wisest man that ever lived? Didn't the scripture say that? He is not the richest because after him, people have more wealth. But for knowledge, you know. A man who is very wise, that has 300 women as his wives. Come on, people. Is he wise? Brothers, I have liberated you talk. Is he wise? How easy is it to control one? Then 300. Not easy. That's what I'm driving at. Our sisters are wonderful. They're very wonderful. Good emotions. Everything's powerful in its rightful place. If you know how to handle a woman, you'll be a very happy man. If you mishandle them too, you'll be like what the scripture says. It will be better to dwell on the corner of a roof. So it tells you that the wisdom of men has nothing to do with when God wants to lead you into a place. Amen. If we are going to grow, your mind must constantly be engaged with the Holy Spirit. For as many who are led by their spirit, led how? Through their minds. He dictates to you. He tells you what to do. And this is not outside of God's original intent. Say that with me. It is not what? Outside of God's original intent. You go back to the book of Genesis, you know that the Bible says, in the beginning, what did God do? He created man. He breathed into his nostrils, and man became what? A living soul. So the only reason we became living soul is because of the breath of what? The Almighty. That tells you that God's intent, that without his spirit in you, you are just mere flesh. So your 3.5-pound brain ain't that smart until his spirit is in it. It will be smart around earthly things, but when it comes to spiritual things, it is not. So Paul says that It is only the spirit of a person that searches what is in him. So for you to know what is in God, you need his spirit in you.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text RADIO to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.